Donald Trump Jr. arrived in India on Tuesday for a week-long trip promoting the family's branded apartment buildings. And the visit by the U.S. president's oldest son has some ethics groups worried. The marketing materials for the new Trump Towers development outside New Delhi, according to the Washington Post, offers prospective buyers the chance to meet Don Jr. face-to-face. One of the developers told the Press Trust of India that Donald Trump Jr. will host the first 100 buyers in the U.S. Watchdog organization, the Center for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, called the offer outrageous. The group told the Washington Post, quote, they are auctioning off the first family in a foreign land. The Trump organization declined to comment.
It wasn't finger-licking good at this KFC restaurant in Britain. In fact, there was no chicken at all, forcing the restaurant to close. And it wasn't the only one. Around half of KFC's 900 UK outlets weren't able to open for the same reason. KFC blamed delivery problems. Just last week, it switched its contract to DHL, which said operational issues had caused the supply disruption.
Donald Trump gave his full support to Mitt Romney's Senate run in Utah on Monday, the latest twist in what at times has been a tumultuous relationship. The president tweeted Romney, quote, will make a great senator, and the former GOP presidential candidate was quick to thank him in a show of public harmony between the two former rivals. Romney has been an outspoken critic of Trump. During the 2016 election campaign, he described him as a fraud who was playing the American public for fools. Trump fired back, saying Romney, quote, choked like a dog in his 2012 campaign against Barack Obama, only to then briefly consider Romney as Secretary of State.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's February 21st and 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Today on the broadcast, we've got a great show for you. In just a minute, we'll bring in our first guest, the executive director at the Gene Siskel Film Center. We'll be talking movies and Oscars and the business of movies. And a little later in the program, have you finally unbundled from cable and now face all of the decisions about subscription service? How many is too many? We'll talk with an editor at Consumer Reports Magazine coming up a little bit later in our second segment. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are pointing toward opening losses later this morning off 39 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are mixed this morning. Around the globe, markets in Europe are generally lower, with markets in Germany and France almost a half a percent lower. In Asia this morning, markets are generally mixed, with the Nikkei up about 45 points and the Hang Seng up almost 2% this morning. Markets are recovering after a long Lunar New Year holiday break. Oil this morning is at $61.77 a barrel, up about 9 cents. A couple of stories that we're watching for you this morning. Democratic lawmakers on the House investigative panel that's looking into Equifax are asking for more time and asking Equifax to provide more free credit monitoring and identity theft protection for at least 3 years. Equifax has offered up only 1 year of those protections so far. The Democratic members of the House Oversight and Reform Committee are arguing that identity thieves often wait much longer to act on stolen information. The House is currently investigating the Equifax scandal that led to a breach of almost 150 or more million accounts being seen by hackers who got Social Security numbers and credit information. And a federal judge in Los Angeles has struck down a California law that restricts popular Hollywood website from posting the ages of actors. The law, aimed at preventing age discrimination in the entertainment industry, was ruled to violate the free speech rights of IMDb.com, which provides information about movies, television shows, and their casts and crews. Well, front and center this morning, the executive director of the Gene Siskel Film Center in Chicago is with us this morning. Gene de St. Aubin is with us. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning, Steve.
The business of movies, I think, is sort of a broad umbrella, but we wanted to bring you in this morning because it's Oscar season.
It is.
And we like talking about movies and stuff. Tell us about first the Film Center and how things are going.
They're going great. The Gene Siskel Film Center, we've been around over 45 years now, and we've been in our location on State Street for 18 years. And we just had a whole refresh. We remodeled both of our theaters, new seats, new carpeting, and we laid wiring so that people with cochlear implants can hear better, because we want everybody to be able to enjoy our films. Mm-hmm. Attendance has been booming. You know, a lot of movie theaters, art houses, and regular theaters have been struggling the last couple of years to build their audiences, and, you know, God love Chicago. They keep coming.
what do you peg that to?
I think it's a number of things. I think it's our programming. It's extremely eclectic. For instance, tonight, I was looking at our schedule tonight. We have four films playing. One's from South Africa. One's from China. One is a local filmmaker. And one is from Italy. So it's international, it's local, it's old films, new films. It's really, we look at our film programming as curated film programming. Almost every month there's either a retrospective or a festival or a thematic series. Right now we're in the middle of the festival Films from Iran. Mm-hmm. And in March we open one of our biggest festivals, which is the Chicago European Union Film Festival. All premieres from all the best films from Europe. And that's a great festival.
The other part of it, too, is, and maybe this is, I don't want to throw shade on Hollywood in general, but there's really been not much good to see at the regular theater, right?
Well, yeah, kind of. You know, I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing Black Panther, but
me too, by the way.
but I think, you know, Hollywood really does target that 15 to 30 year old person, and it used to be more male. I think that's shifting a little, thank God. And but I think, you know, in Chicago, we have a really sophisticated audience. We've always been a theater town, so I think people have a certain expectation when they go out for entertainment, and you're going to get that at the Film Center. You know, you're going to get films that are not... we have our fair amount of car chases, but and blow-ups, but it's really films that are character-driven and story-driven, and I think that's what Chicago audiences really respond to.
For people who may have just landed on planet Earth and don't know, Gene Siskel, obviously half of Siskel and Ebert, the famed movie critics, what do you think Gene Siskel would say about how the Film Center's grown and become such a good place in Chicago?
Oh, I think he'd be really pleased. I think he would be there all the time. One of the reasons that we named the Film Center in honor of Gene was that he was famous for saying the three best things about Chicago were the Film Center, the Chicago Bulls, and Mayor Daley. This was the old Mayor Daley. Right. So it was quite a while ago that he said it, but we've never forgotten that.
And two, it's you know, we were talking before the broadcast about missing Gene Siskel and sort of the attention he brought to Chicago and brought movies to Chicago.
Correct. I mean, you know, Gene and Roger together really put Chicago on the map in the film industry. Movies would open, you know, New York, L.A., and Chicago, because filmmakers and producers wanted that quote or the reviews from Gene and Roger. And once they were no longer, you know, with us, Chicago a lot of times doesn't get that opening weekend that L.A. and New York do. We've become part of the flyover, you know, as they say.
Well, too bad. Gene, hang on. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue our conversation this morning with Gene de St. Aubin, Executive Director of the Gene Siskel Film Center. We'll talk a little Oscars when we come back.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Today, investors will be keeping an eye on Walmart shares to see where they go after the company was blamed for dragging the Dow lower on Tuesday. The company posted disappointing earnings and shares lost about 10% of their value. It's Walmart's worst one-day drop in more than 30 years. Sweden is the most cashless place on Earth. Most people there using plastic, digital, and mobile payments. Signs at restaurants and retailers telling customers cash is not accepted. Even some banks have stopped handling cash altogether. But some authorities are worried that if cash disappears too fast, it will leave many elderly and non-tech-oriented people without the ability to participate in the economy. Supermarket giant Albertsons is buying part of Rite Aid, the country's third largest pharmacy chain. The deal aimed at sparking Rite Aid's expansion as the company looks to compete with retailing giant Amazon, which is eyeing a possible entry into healthcare. Dave Packer, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 523. We're on this morning with Gene de St. Aubin, Executive Director at the Gene Siskel Film Center. Gene, it is Oscars time.
It is.
And you guys are going to be doing a big shindig.
We do. Every year we host a big Oscar viewing party. We call it Hollywood on State, where you're the star. You know, we have two theaters, so you're watching the Oscars on the big screen.
That's cool.
So you really can't get a better view of it anywhere, even if you were there, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then in our gallery, which we call our gallery cafe, we have two big monitors. So no matter where you are, you're not going to miss the action. It's a great night. We have a lot of food sponsors. So we have tasting stations from Fago de Chao, right. Hutch, Good For You Events, Rosebud Prime, and then free-flowing beer, wine, champagne, and Tito's Vodka. So it's really, it's a $100 ticket. And all of that comes with that.
That's a pretty good deal.
You know, a lot of the Oscar parties around town, you go there, you get one drink ticket or you get a champagne toast or whatever. But ours is just come and, you know, bid on the auction, maybe buy a raffle ticket, but just have a great time. And you really don't need to bring any money.
Is this a fancy affair? Is it a dress up kind of in tuxedos and fancy dresses?
You know, we're doing something fun this year. So many people have said, oh, you know, I want to stay home and watch the Oscars in my pajamas. That's what I like to do. So this year, we're telling people if they really want to be in their pajamas, but we're trying not to use the word pajamas, we're saying vintage loungewear.
Nice.
So you could do Hollywood glam, which is what most people do, which is just kind of cocktail attire. But if you feel like putting on a silk kimono and some silky pants, that would be just fine.
This is one of those things that Siskel always used to, every year, the picks. Him and Ebert would do their Oscar picks. This was like high season for Gene Siskel. So I'm guessing he would approve of this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure he'd probably have a great time. It's too bad he'd make a great MC. He'd be a great master of ceremonies for the event.
Do you have any predictions? Have you seen all of the nominated movies?
I've seen most of them. I think there's only two of the best pictures that I have not seen. You know, I really want Shape of Water to win. I think it's between Shape of Water and Three Billboards. Mm. But I think I really like Shape of Water. I thought it was beautiful. It's romantic. It's kind of got everything. You know, it's got the creature from the Black Lagoon. It's got, you know, it's got love. It's got intrigue. And, you know, I felt Three Billboards was extremely well acted, but it felt to me kind of like a one-note movie.
How do we support, obviously coming to the Film Center is a good way to support it, but can we support it other ways as well? Are there memberships? How do we become?
There's many ways. I mean, if, you know, the first, you know, come to the movies. You know, come, spend your time there, spend your money there, and enjoy it. I think one of the reasons that our attendance keeps going up is because it's a really welcoming, comfortable space. We really pride ourselves in having a staff that's extremely friendly and knowledgeable about films. You can become a member. Individual memberships are $50 a year, and then movies are only $6 every time you come. We also have VIP memberships, which start at $1,500, and then you get a pass to come to movies for free for the year. We have, you know, a big thing to do is to come to the Oscar party. That really helps us because we get all the food and all the beverages donated. All of your ticket price goes right to the Film Center and to help cover our basic costs for our education programs, for our programming. You know, film, we have to rent those movies that you see, and we have to ship them all over the country, all over the world, really. So those are some of our big costs. And then we also have a big annual gala every year, and that's coming up probably in June. And we honor some big star. We don't know who that is yet.
Not yet. No hints yet.
I'm not giving out any. I can't.
You talked about the membership, and I hate to even bring this up, but we were talking in the break about this. The Movie Pass, this craze with Movie Pass, where you buy this membership and you can see all the movies. Many people have said one of the cool things about it here in Chicago is you get to come to the Film Center with it.
Definitely. And we've really seen, I was telling Steve, we started tracking. We started seeing more and more people using MoviePass and started tracking it. And between 10 and 30 people use it every night. So that's great for us. I think it's introducing a lot of new people to the Film Center. I don't know long term what's going to happen to MoviePass. It's a business model that's not really sustainable. At some point, somebody's going to have to pay. And I don't know if it's going to be the movie theaters, the producers, or the consumer. So it's a kind, we're all in a wait and see kind of mode. But for right now, it's great for the Gene Siskel Film Center, and it's great for movie lovers.
Do you think, speaking of the future, we're always going to have movie theaters where we can go and sit and watch a movie?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when radio came in, they said movies are going to die. When TVs became popular, movies were going to die. People want to get out of their houses. You know, they want to get out of their houses. They want to be in a dark room with a bunch of strangers in a shared experience, laughing together. And as long as the movies are good and you can really kind of track attendance, you know, at the Film Center and in movie theaters in general, by what's out there, you know? I mean, there was a year quite a while ago where it was all remakes, awful remakes, you know, Bewitched, and that kind of was just awful. And attendance was, you know, everybody's freaking out, like, oh, we have to give away free popcorn. Oh, we have to do this or that. I'm like, no, just make good movies, and people will come. Right. And that's basically our business model. Show good movies, and people will come.
Well, and we want people to come, too, to your Academy Awards event. Where can people get sign up for it, get tickets, find more information?
Our website is very user friendly. It's siskelfilmcenter.org. And on there you can get our schedule. You can buy tickets, make a donation, and learn all about us. So go to siskelfilmcenter.org. O-R-G.
Awesome. It's wonderful meeting you, and thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Gene DeSainov, Executive Director at the Gene Siskel Film Center here in Chicago.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. Chicago startup Four Kites has raised $35 million in new funding as the fast-growing logistics startup continues to gain popularity with the shipping industry. Four Kites' software helps companies predict when shipments will arrive, and its customers include Best Buy, Kraft Heinz, and Staples. Google's CEO said in a blog post that the company plans to invest in new or expanded offices in 9 states, including Illinois, which will add engineering, operations, sales, and other roles. And 2 Chicago VC firms just saw a portfolio company exit for $100 million. Vettery, which is based in New York, has been acquired for $100 million by the Adecco Group. Chicago-based Lightbank and the Pritzker Group both invested in Vettery's $9 million Series A. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of the program. Now that you've cut the cord with cable or maybe removed the satellite dish, how many streaming services are you willing to pay for? 1, 2, 3? And which one is the best? Jim Wilcox is a senior electronic editor for Consumer Reports, and he's with us this morning. Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
You're the expert at Consumer Reports in this. You write a lot about it. As a matter of fact, one of your more recent stories sort of profiles all of these streaming services. There are quite a few choices. How do we even decide which one's the best?
You know, it's gotten a lot tougher. It used to be, you know, when people first started streaming, it was, you know, Netflix, and do you get discs or do you get streaming? You know, now there's, you know, maybe a dozen different services. So you really need to think a lot about what you're trying to do, because some of the services are sort of additive. It means that, you know, you get a paid TV service, but you want to get more. Other ones are really designed to help you cut the cord and to get, you know, as much of the content that you want at a cheaper price than you're paying for your traditional paid TV service.
Within the last few weeks, we've seen ESPN say they're going to launch their own app as well, and then Fox News yesterday saying they're going to do this. At what point does it become too many for people?
Well, it's funny because really what you need to do is sit down with your family and figure out, okay, what are the must-have channels that we need to have to make us all happy? And so as you sit down, you may find that no single service is going to give you everything you need, and then you start adding these different services. You know, CBS has had their own service for a while, which meant a lot of times it was hard to get CBS in local markets. That's starting to change now, but you really need to figure out whether or not one service will do it or whether you're going to have to cobble together often a quite complicated mix of different services to give your family everything they need.
I know that in one of your stories you wrote some of the services, like, for instance, I believe it's, I'm drawing a blank now, but they're adding the network affiliates to some of these services. Correct? So like Roku, you can see now CBS affiliates and some of these other apps now too, right?
Yeah, so, you know, Roku's the player, so more and more services are supporting Roku, so if you have a Roku device, you can get, you know, these different services, plus the individual apps that you're talking about. But what we've also seen is that initially with the stations that own their networks in your area, they've been on board really quickly, but a lot of the local affiliates have had, it's been tougher to get them. You have to sign separate deals with all these local affiliates. So that's why you really need to see whether or not those local channels are available in your area when you look at these different services?
I was thinking of PlayStation View. I just couldn't think of it there because that's how I pull in Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, and so it's nice to see they're finally perhaps going to get some of the pay TV or some of the local TV stations. But some of these, like PlayStation View, it's up to $75 a month, which begs the question, you know, how is this different from paying for a cable subscription?
Well, it's funny because PlayStation View is the most cable-like of all of the different services. So they give you a lot, just like a cable, service would do. But again, you mentioned that, you know, their prices start at $40, but you may find that by the time you add everything that you want, you're paying for their premium service, which, as you mentioned, is $75. Now, the other thing to think about is that for all of these services, you're going to need a decent broadband connection. And one of the things that we've seen is when you debundle pay TV from your broadband, a lot of times that price goes up, or you need to get a more robust broadband service. So you have to add that cost in because a lot of times you're paying a penalty by not getting a bundle from a service provider.
There are some potential pitfalls ahead, too. One of them, obviously, net neutrality and whether or not that's going to impact some of these services. But also, we're seeing people revolting a little bit. I know some of my friends who like Star Trek, they don't want to pay for to see this new series, even though it's been very well reviewed. They don't want to pay for another app, in this case, CBS.
Yeah, I think that you start to get subscription overload because, you know, you look around, you may have one or two music subscriptions, you have this subscription, and for a lot of people, that's really a different, sort of a different business model where a lot of times, you know, it used to be, you know, all radio was free. Now there's satellite radio, there's different services you can subscribe to. TV used to be free, then there was pay TV, and then that's why you really need to sit down and almost do an actuarial accounting to see whether or not by the time you're done, you're either saving a lot of money or, in fact, you're paying a little bit less but getting a lot less.
Disney was another example, too, of potential stuff that's going to be taken away from Hulu or even Netflix as they start their own app. That's another concern going forward, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, the other thing is that because of what's happening, the cost of content is escalating. So you have all these different services vying for all of this kinds of content. You know, they try to get exclusives, and you have to pay for that. So one of the things that we expect to see is that the prices for all of these services continuing to escalate. And, again, that's starting to look a lot like, cable TV.
One of the cool things that I used to like was going and getting Redbox. They launched their streaming service in December, and one of your recent stories talks about how they're expanding that now online.
Yeah, so, you know, Redbox a couple of years ago tried to do a subscription streaming service a lot like Netflix, where you paid one price per month and then you got everything, and then they gave you a couple of coupons for a disc at one of their kiosks. What they're doing now is more of a pay-per-view service, so it's more like, you know, an iTunes movie that you rent or buy or something from a service like Fandango now or Vudu, where you just pay for each individual title. It's a lot easier business model for them to manage because they don't have this big upfront subscription cost, but it's really, for those kinds of things, it's not really a replacement service as much as it is, hey, you know, we already get a pay TV TV service, or we have one of these cord cutting services, and we'd like to get more current movies. So they're making those things available via streaming as well as on disc from the kiosks that you see at shopping centers.
Jim, if we go to Consumer Reports or all of these different services rated, do you guys put this put them in their ratings?
Yeah, for the services, we rate all the players. We tend not to rate the services themselves, but we do provide descriptions, and then we tell you what that service is best for based on who you are as a consumer. So if you go to consumerreports.org and just type in streaming video, you'll be able to find all of the articles that we have and a whole section on cord cutting.
All right, Jim, good of you to be with us this morning. Thanks for the information.
My pleasure.
Jim Wilcox, a senior electronics editor at Consumer Reports magazine. We're going to link out in a podcast later this morning, too, to some of his recent stories at consumerreports.org.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures down 55 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are down just about 3 and 4 points, respectively. Now look at agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Market activity yesterday in the grain and livestock community at the Mercantile Exchange. Lean hog contracts up 1.7%, rallying on technical and investment fund buying after falling to more than four-month lows last week. Rising wholesale pork prices also bolstered the hog futures contracts. The wholesale pork cutout was $1.36 a hundredweight, putting it at $79.72. The April lean hog contract up $1.05 for the day. April live cattle up 7 cents for the day, and March feeder cattle were also up 7 cents for the day. Turning to the grain market, you know what's affecting that market. It's the drought in Argentina, continuing to have an impact as concern grows over the size of the Argentine crop. Soybean meal futures jumped to their highest level since July of 2016, and that rally helped lift soybean and corn prices, which touched seven-month and six-month highs, respectively. The National FFA Week continues this week. We hope you'll get involved with the FFA chapter in your community. And then we look ahead to next week, Commodity Classic, Anaheim, California. A lot of farmers producing corn, soybeans, and sorghum and wheat will be in Anaheim for that convention and trade show. And the Secretary of Agriculture Purdue will be keynote speaker. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, February 21st. A couple of major business and economic reports today. The National Association of Realtors releases existing home sales for January. The Federal Reserve releases minutes from its January interest rate meeting. Also, the U.S. Supreme Court has hearings beginning at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, and a Transparency International Corruption Perceptions Index is launched today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, February 21st.